This is the Frogcast.
All right, I'll get to work.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Real quick before y'all go, did y'all know that Waco was getting a Chipotle and a Smoothie King? Did y'all know that shit? It's blowing up down there. Like, they're all getting everything.
See,
maybe
this...
even a Potbelly. Like, it's crazy.
Welcome to this special edition of the Frogcast. We've got some big news that we'll be breaking online, and hopefully you'll get to hear it here first. Frogcast is now officially the podcast of killerfrogs.com. We launched back in August, and through the fall, we got hopefully quite a following, but we are now officially associated with where many of you found us on killerfrogs.com. Now that the season is over, we have shifted gears into what is often the second season, which is recruiting. Recruiting is a hot topic for fans. It's big in the state of Texas, and it's especially the lifeblood of programs like TCU and the Big 12. And we're excited to have on with us tonight the foremost authority on recruiting at TCU, and that is Jeremy Clark. Jeremy is from the 24/7 website. He's been at Scout. He's been at Rivals. Nobody knows more about recruiting than Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome to the Frogcast, and thank you so much for taking the time to come on with us here for this interview.
Looking forward to it, guys. I'm kind of like TCU. I just move around from conference to conference, but I think I got a home at 24/7 now, just like TCU is in the Big 12, so I'm good now.
That is great. I followed you when you're on Rivals. I bumped over to Scout, and then like one day I went to Scout, and it was empty, and everybody moved to 24/7, and then... I know Killer Frog says they lower office productivity, but during recruiting season especially, 24/7 has drained my office productivity, especially with some of the things that we are going to talk about tonight. Daniel, you're going to kick it off asking Jeremy about our class right now, so why don't you get things going for us, friend?
Alrighty, I was just curious about which recruits you're most excited about TCU signing this coming Wednesday.
Oh gosh, man, we've still got, what, about 6 days to go in recruiting. I think they still have a good chance of guys like Tyree Cleveland, Kyle Porter, DeAndre Christmas-Childs. I mean, it's really a great class from top to bottom. Went out and really filled out every position need that they had on the board, from quarterbacks all the way down to corner. Love the defensive end prospects they have. Isaiah Chambers is a guy that can play outside or play inside for the Frogs if he needs to. Another guy I really like this class is Darius Anderson. Darius Anderson really came onto the scene late in his senior year. I mean, he had some early offers, but really the way he progressed throughout the season and rushed for almost 300 yards against a really good Mansfield Lakeridge team, the same Lakeridge team that beat Aledo the week prior. So Frogs are getting a dynamic guy, similar for Frog fans. He's similar to a guy like Sean Nixon, that can run the ball, catch the ball, move out to slot motion, do a lot of things, very versatile on the field. But really, guys, from top to bottom, I mean, it's just a good class right now. It's ranked 12 in our 247 rankings. And, you know, you get guys like Cleveland or Porter or even Audie Omotosho, you're going to see the Frogs jump into the top 10, in my opinion. And really, it's going to be the top class that Gary Patterson has signed since he's been the coach over at TCU.
Do you have a definite answer on which position or even which side of the ball Shewo will be playing?
Well, they're telling him running back right now. And the people that I talked with that covered the Army All-American game said that he really did look like a true running back. Now, you know, it's funny to say because you don't really see a big kid like him that's running the football, especially at TCU. I mean, he's a legit 6'2", 6'3", 220 pounds. And, you know, I joke around with people, but when you see Gary Patterson pace up and down the sideline during a game, that's pretty much how he's probably going to be during spring when he watches Shewo play, because I know they really wanted him on defense. And But, you know, you had to do what you had to do to get him on campus. And he really is a good running back. If people have spent a few minutes watching his highlight film, he's a fast runner. He's not going to have typical breakaway speed, but he's strong. Even though he's 6'3", he doesn't run real tall. He's a guy that can get you short yardage. He's a guy that can get you the 15 to 20 yard spurts, any time, anywhere on the field. He's just one of those guys that is so versatile. A lot of people are going to compare him to what Jerry Hughes was like, but I do think that Shalo was actually a lot better of a running back prospect than Jerry was coming out of high school. So I think that's why you'll see a little bit of pause if he doesn't, you know, succeed right away at running back, that they'll pause a little bit and just see what he can do before they make any adjustments for him to move on the defensive side of the ball. But I'm really excited about seeing what he can do. I think he's one of those guys who can come in and make a good impact early on.
Jeremy, one of the guys that gets mentioned in almost every article you write is Brennan Wooten, whether he's being recognized or out there recruiting other recruits. He was one of the earliest commits to this class, even before a down was played in the 2014 season. Tell us about the impact that he's had on the field as a senior, as well as coming in to help build this class.
Well, I've been doing this for just about 12 years, and I got to tell you, Brennan's one of my most favorite recruits I've ever had a chance to cover. Not only is he a guy that just is mature beyond his years, he's a great player. He's a great leader. He's everything you want from a quarterback as far as a guy that doesn't get rattled. He's not your prototypical 6'4", 210-pound gunslinger out there, but he does have good size. And a lot of people ask me, who does he remind you of? And it's going to sound funny for a lot of people to hear this, but really the guy he reminds me of is Colt McCoy. If anyone watched Colt McCoy during high school or even when he was doing well at Texas, you saw a guy that was a really good leader, didn't get panicked at all. And that's Brennan. Brennan will have the same exact celebration or same reaction when he throws a touchdown pass as he does when he throws an interception. He's very calm, very collective. He's a great leader. I mean, I could go on for this whole segment talking good about Brennan, but you know, the thing that really impressed me the most is he bought into TCU very early, stayed true to his commitment. He had offers from Clemson, Washington, other programs were coming into the picture for him. And he was polite and told those programs, hey, you know, I really like what I have going on at TCU. And even when all the stuff was going on with Sonny Cumbie and, you know, you didn't know what he was going to do as far as if he was going to leave TCU and go to Texas. And, you know, Brennan was staying firm with his commitment. Obviously, it was something he was looking at, but, you know, he was still out there recruiting for TCU and trying to get any and every player that came across their board. If Brennan saw that a prospect got offered, he was out there reaching out to him immediately, trying to get them to become a Frog. And that's the kind of guy you want as a fan. Frog fans are going to love this guy as far as his composure and everything, and just him being a great example on and off the football field for them.
Well, before we shift gears here and Trey digs into a little more history of recruiting that you obviously are an encyclopedia of, we've said this is the best class that Gary Patterson has. What makes this distinct? What makes the 2016 class unique in the eyes of someone that's had kind of a front row seat for it for 10 years?
This class is unique because they've gotten highly rated players in the past, but there's more of them this year. And they went really heavy on the JUCO route. They got the number one receiver in Taj Williams. They got the number one inside linebacker in Tyree Horton. And that's something that they typically haven't been able to do when they go for a JUCO player. But I was really impressed with what the staff was able to accomplish landing those two guys. But if you look top to bottom at their commitment list, they've got, you know, 7 or 8 four-star players. And that's going to be easily the most that TCU has ever signed under Gary. And you know, the things that have changed the most since I've covered the team and really here in recent years, you got to sit back and think about it. I was telling someone this the other day. If I was to tell you that TCU was going to be the out program such as Texas, Alabama, Oklahoma State, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State, USC for recruits, you would have told me I was crazy 3 years ago. And now they're doing it to this. They're doing it this class, and it's just a feather in the cap for what TCU's been able to accomplish on the football field. Obviously, the success in the Big 12 has helped them tremendously. Obviously, what they were able to do against Oregon in that comeback, becoming the national story that they were able to get out there and achieve. I mean, it's really helped in recruiting. And the fact that all these other programs are coming in after TCU coaches, but the TCU coaches stick around. It shows longevity. It shows that the program is on the rise. They graduate players. Everything that is a helpful factor for them, they're right there at the ceiling. And, you know, when other coaches or other programs try to come in a negative recruit, they could have done that back in the day when TCU was in the Mountain West, but there's not much negativity you can say about TCU right now, and that's why they're so successful going forward.
Jeremy, you know, we've talked about it. You've been around covering this for a while now, and, you know, it's gone from, you know, like you mentioned, TCU's gotten big recruits in the past, but it's been here and there, and now it seems like it's, you know, every year it picks up more and more. In your opinion, was there one recruit that when TCU signed him that you were like, wow, I can't believe the Frogs landed that guy? Or if not that, more like, oh, wow, I can now see TCU's kind of gone to the next level. Was there a guy like that in your mind that, you know, in the past, looking back at it, that you were, you know, surprised or, you know, like I was saying, kind of thought it was like a step up?
I would say the guy that really got things started as a four-star guy, one of the top recruits in the country that really made people realize that you could go to TCU and have success. That's Jeremy Curley. Jeremy was one of the top prospects in the country coming out of Hutto, Texas. It's been so long. I'm having a hard time remembering what class he was. I think he was 07. But that was really the first time that TCU had landed a top player, in my estimation, under Gary Patterson. And it just kind of trickled on beyond that. 2009, you had a chance to see guys like Casey Paul Hall and Wayman James. Casey was obviously one of the top quarterbacks in the country, and Wayman James is obviously one of the top running backs in the country. But they've always had, you know, even when they were in the Mountain West, they've always done a great job of recruiting guys like Jared Anderson and Rusty Burns and Chad Glasgow have always done a good job recruiting. But now you have guys like Sonny Comby and Curtis Looper and Doug Meacham, guys that can go out there and up their recruiting up a little bit more. And now guys that they probably, no offense to the coaches or the TCU fans, but guys they wouldn't have had a chance with 6 years ago are now becoming Horned Frogs. And so I think it's going to go even higher next year in 2017. They've already got one of the top quarterbacks in the country, and Sean Robinson, he's rated number three quarterback in the country, I believe, right now. And then Wes Harris is the number three offensive guard in the country. And so it's going to be a small class next year, but I think it's going to be, as far as the quality, it's going to be just as impressive as the 2016 class.
Kind of off slightly recruiting a little bit, looking kind of forward to spring and, you know, next season, I guess, two-part question. One, who is your pick if you had to pick right now, just going into it? Are you saying, would you say Kenny Hill will be the quarterback next year? And then outside of quarterback, is there anything you're looking for in spring that you really, like, either a position battle or just one player in particular?
Well, the quarterback questions, it's interesting because you have a guy that obviously had some early success at A&M, and he's built for this offense, and you hear reports out of the spring or out of the fall that he's done really well and running the scout team. And everyone that's watched Kenny Hill from high school over when he was at South Lake to what he was able to accomplish in that short time at A&M knows he's a good player. He's another dual-threat quarterback, can make plays with his feet, and he's got a really strong arm. He's really accurate. About the same size as Trevon. You're not going to miss a whole lot of athleticism. You're probably not going to get the wow plays that Trevon was able to make, but certainly I would think that Kenny's going to have the chance to come in there and prove himself evenly with the other guys, with Foster and Grayson. And I ultimately think it's going to be Kenny, just because I think he does so much as far as being able to understand the offense and use his feet. Foster, I love Foster. I mean, he's a pro-style quarterback, deceptively fast. We saw a little bit of him. I think, you know, under better circumstances, he probably would have played a little bit better if he wouldn't been pressed into action on the road at, you know, Oklahoma. But in Grayson Muehlstein, he's another athletic dual threat guy. It's going to be interesting. And you throw in Brennan. I think Brennan would best be served to redshirt his first year. And I think that's what the plan is. But as far as the other three guys, I would have to give the nod right now to Kenny, just because I think he does more than the other two quarterbacks as far as being able to make plays through the air and with his feet, and the understanding of the offense will help him out pretty good. He's been there for over a year now. He knows what he's doing, and it's going to be exciting to see. But other positions, I mean, you're losing some good receivers, so it's going to be fun to watch. Guys like Jalen Austin and Jarrison Stewart, some of the younger guys, step up a little bit like they did in the Alamo Bowl. And I'm excited to see what Taj Williams can do. I mean, that's the reason why you recruit the number one receiver in the country, because you're losing a guy like Josh Doctson, and you have to have someone come in there and essentially replace a first-round talent. Now, I don't know if Taj is going to be able to do that by himself, but it's going to be fun to see the receivers step up and see what they're able to accomplish in spring.
That's good stuff. That is good stuff. A couple of quick questions here, and we will wrap it up with you, Jeremy. If I'm a recruit that is leaning towards TCU or committed towards TCU, and I'm sitting in the living room with another coach from another Big 12 school, what are they going to say about TCU? What do other coaches say about us to, you know, not just like run us down, but what do people say about TCU that kind of discourages them from coming here? I've always been curious about that, and I'm sure you've heard a little bit of that secondhand.
Well, I mean, and I certainly don't feel this way, but you know, there's for all the defensive players, I think you know, you obviously get told that Gary rides them pretty hard. But you know, if you're a smart 17 or 18 year old prospect and you've got the right people in your corner, they're telling you, hey, that's the kind of person that I want to coach my son. Obviously, you know, everyone's going to talk about the stadium size, and the reason why they discuss all that is because recruits buy into it. And I don't know if you guys remember a while back, but when Derek Willis visited West Virginia, TCU goes out and wins the game 40-10. And when people ask him about what he thought of his visit, his first word out of his mouth was, "I thought there would be more fans." So your recruits obviously look at that, and you know, whatever it is, TCU's always going to be fighting that battle. They can have 100,000 people at a game in the Rose Bowl or whatever, and they're still going to be fighting the attendance issues, because that's what TCU's always been known for in the past, for people, you know, showing up to the game late or leaving at halftime. But there's not really a whole lot of negative things that you could say about TCU now, because if you want to start saying they have negative things, look at their offense. It's in the numbers. They're one of the top offenses. Look at the defense. Even though they lost so many starters this year, they still finished fourth in the Big 12 in total defense. And I told everyone, this season right here was Gary Patterson's best job as a head coach at TCU. All the adversity they had, playing 31 true freshmen and redshirt freshmen, losing your star quarterback, the Alamo Bowl, 2 days before the game, and somehow you're able to get those players coached up and get them driven to go out there and succeed. And those guys are not only doing it on the football field, succeeding on the field, but they're succeeding in the classroom. They're succeeding everywhere that TCU tells them they're going to succeed 4 years prior, when they're in the living room and talking to their talking to the kids and talking to the parents and telling them, hey, you know, TCU is where you want to be. We know you're going to hear some other negative things about us, but if you want to, discuss those negative things, we'll show you the, paper where we can prove every one of them wrong. So it's always going to be an ongoing battle. Anytime recruiting is kind of like politics. There's always going to be some negativity around, but the good thing with TCU, I've never heard a recruit tell me that TCU was negative recruiting. I've never heard a coach, a high school coach, tell me that TCU was negative recruiting. It's just, you're always going to get, especially with, the way the internet is now with message boards and everything else, you're always going to have that negativity out there.
All right. Trey, Daniel, either one of you got any more questions as we wrap up?
I'm pretty well set. I thought that was just a fantastic amount of information. That was really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. That was great.
All right. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot, Jeremy. I waited until we had a moment to wrap up if we need to edit it. I got a question that I wanted to ask you. You can take a pass if you want, but my grandpa, all right, my grandpa died when I was 7 years old, and he was a drunk. I loved him till the day he died, but he was there's no nice way to say this. He hung around the dark underbelly of college football. He was good friends with Danny Ford, who won the national championship at Clemson, with Charlie Pell, who got Florida going, and Jerry Claiborne, who used to coach for Bear Bryant but coached at the University of Kentucky. And we could never, like, prove this, but I'm pretty sure that he was an old school version of a bag man. If you, I don't want you naming names and all that kind of stuff. Is this merely message board banter, or is there a reality to benefits that should not be getting to college athletes in order to secure their signature? Is that mostly overblown by people that just didn't get a recruit to the school that they wanted, or is that more prevalent than people realize? And you don't have to name names, and you don't have to talk about anything that you're not supposed to talk about. But I've always wondered that from somebody that is on the other side of the recruiting situation.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to hear those stories out there, and you know, you certainly hear it from the SEC conference. But, I haven't ever personally heard of, other than a couple cases of where a bag man might be involved, certainly not with a TCU recruit, but with other recruits. I think it's somewhere in between. I think anytime you have a situation like that where it's discussed so much, typically where there's a little smoke, there's a little fire, but I would say somewhere in between, as far as if it really happens or if it's just overblown because it's hurt feelings because certain fan bases didn't get the recruit they wanted. The funny thing is all the negative stuff starts coming out after signing day. It's the day of mourning because people want to find out reasons why they didn't get recruit A or recruit B. And they throw out every reason possible, except probably the reason why they didn't get them. But it's fun. It's fun to watch. It's fun to see grown men soaking their heartbreaks over recruiting. I enjoy doing it. I love doing what I do, and it's fun. 365 days of the year. As soon as we end up finished with 2016, we'll go right into 2017.
Well, it is fun. It keeps us going the other several months of the year where we don't get to watch it on the field. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the Frogcast and talk to us about recruiting. Why don't you just take 15, 20 seconds here and make a pitch to all of our listeners about your site and how they can find you either on Twitter or how they can go about subscribing to the 24/7 site.
Well, you can go on right now to Horned Frog Blitz, and we've got a special. We've got a buy 1 month, get two free. And even if you don't want to try that, we've got a 3-week trial that you can come on and do. And the message board's picked up quite a bit. We have a lot of activity pretty much every day, especially with recruiting closing out to coming to a close next week. But you can find me on Twitter at JClarkHFB. You can find my good friend and partner, my work partner, that is, Jay Glenn, Hornfog HF Blitz, I believe is his Twitter. We got a lot of good stuff to discuss every day, and we hope you guys come around and give us a chance.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Jeremy. We appreciate you being on.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Enjoyed it.
All right. For Trey Fallon, for Daniel Southern, we appreciate Jeremy Clark coming on. I'm Jeff Mitchell, and thank you so much for listening to the Frogcast.